looks like a clinic on how not to do things on the baseball field.
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz. Brought to you by Big Y Grocery Store, T-Mobile, Needham Bank, Ramachar's Auto Stores, Jordan's Furniture, Integrity from Marvin Windows and Doors, TestTrips.com, Acura of Auburn, Anderson McQuay, Direct Federal Credit Union, Gravely Lawnmowers, AceTicket.com, WFXD-TV, and Mohegan Sun. On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Welcome into the Baseball Reporters here on 98.5, the Sports Hub. Tony Maserati, as you well know by now, not in this evening, rather off playing golf somewhere. So you've got me, Marshall Hook, in with Matt McCarthy for the next hour as we talk about the Red Sox, in specific baseball in general. And this, the Monday of the All-Star break, is always a good time, a good opportunity, a good chance to take a step back and see where we are on the unofficial halfway point. Obviously, mathematically, a little more than halfway through, but this is what's generally seen as the halfway point of the baseball season. So it's a good time to kind of take a step back. You know, those of us who sit in a place like this spend a lot of time predicting, you know, talking about the Red Sox before the season began, before even spring training began, on what we think that they are going to be. What we look at the roster, look at the pitchers, the bullpen, the lineup, the manager, and make our predictions on what we think they're going to do this year based on, well, whatever crap we decide to make up to base it on. And look at those other teams and do pretty much the same thing. Oftentimes in the world of sports radio, we who sit on this side of the microphone are criticized for not admitting our mistakes. Well, I am more than happy to spend some time this afternoon admitting mistakes, because I'll be honest, I have a lot of them thus far.
You're such a big person.
I know. Hey, listen, I am the only guy who remembers that I wanted to trade Mookie Betts like 2.5 years ago for Cole Hamels. Whenever that was, after his month and a half time with the Red Sox, I said, that guy's a flash in the pan. He's not going to amount to anything. He's no prospect of any sort of renown. And if you can get Cole Hamels for him, I say do it. So clearly, I was dumb.
I could make that trade now. Cole Hamels is available, Marshall.
I'm pretty sure that the Rangers would be all over that deal now. So again, I have no problem admitting where I've been wrong. And so Matt McCarthy, I think he can admit when he's wrong. And if you guys would like to admit where you were wrong or crow about where you were right, we certainly can do that. We can also talk about what it is that you expect to see in the second half for this team. 617-779-0985 is the phone number. And I'll start with this. The thing that I was most wrong about, and I honestly don't think I'm the only one, but certainly we here, me and Tony particularly, were particularly hard on the idea of J.D. Martinez coming to town. I wanted nothing to do with him. I didn't want a long-term deal. I didn't want them to spend $20-plus million. I absolutely eviscerated the Red Sox for not making a stronger move for Giancarlo Stanton. And I said, J.D. Martinez is going to be weak sauce compared to him. And I've been wrong. I mean, J.D. Martinez is, all due respect to Mookie Betts, the MVP of this team, as far as I'm concerned. Because Mookie Betts, while potentially putting together a better offensive season from top to bottom and contributing defensively, J.D. Martinez is the change, right? He's the thing that wasn't here last year. And the version of Mookie Betts we're getting this year is different than the one we got last year, more akin to the one we got 2 years ago. But J.D. Martinez has given this team what it has lacked, not only since David Ortiz, but really Manny Ramirez-esque is the offense that we're getting from J.D. Martinez. So I have already tweeted about it like 2 months ago or a month ago. I said I was wrong about this guy, and I will admit it for as long as I'll admit that I was wrong about Mookie Betts. J.D. Martinez has been an enormous part of this team. He is the reason that they are 50 runs up on the Yankees, something like that, 40 runs up scored on the season. He is the reason they're 4.5 games up on the New York Yankees, or at least a big part of it. He is the reason that they have marched through their schedule in the first half, or at least a big part of it. And I was wrong about all of that, because my look at him was that he was a guy that kind of had two really good half seasons that weren't even connected to each other. the second half of last year, of course, headed into a free agent year. And I said, well, listen, he's one of those guys who can really put it together when he's about to be an impending free agent. But once he signs the long-term deal, once he gets the money, are we going to see anything even remotely like what we saw last year? And in some ways, we're not. We're seeing even better than that. So I stand here in front of you all today and admit I was 100% wrong about J.D. Martinez.
I'm in the exact same boat. I was passionately against the idea of signing J.D. Martinez. I said he would never replicate the second half of his 2017 season, which he has essentially done in the first half of 2018. I said he would not stay healthy. He has most certainly stayed healthy. He's barely missed any time this year. I said that he couldn't anchor a lineup because I'd never seen it from him before. He was never the best hitter in his lineup. He played with Miguel Cabrera. He played with Paul Goldschmidt in Arizona. And all he's done all those things. He's come in here and he has anchored this lineup. He has been the changing force that the Red Sox needed. Mookie Betts is better because of J.D. Martinez. Mookie Betts is better in the leadoff spot. He now can lead off because they have J.D. Martinez in the middle of the lineup. I didn't think Martinez was capable of that. I have been dead wrong, Marshall. We're in the same boat on that one.
So that is, I think, one of the biggest things that I've got to do the mea culpa on. And again, I think a lot of people are out there. But to be fair, this is not in any way universal. There were tons of people who were completely in favor of the J.D. Martinez signing. Not so many that work in this room, but there were a lot of people out there. I know there were a lot of callers who said that we are completely wrong about that, that they were worried about the length and breadth of Stanton's contract. Now, if I really wanted to get nitty gritty, I could tell you could have had them both. But, you know, we'll save that.
Don't get greedy, Marshall. Come on.
Don't get greedy, because the Yankees certainly didn't do that. 617-779-0985. Now, about 4 hours ago, I tried to take a phone call. It did not go well. Should I do it now, Jimmy?
Yes, 100% yes.
All right, here we go. Chris, in the car. Welcome to the Baseball Reporters. See, I'm apparently no good at this.
Put him on hold for a second, Hulk. I'll take care of this.
All right. I'm not sure how to put him on hold. Do I just do that? Yep. Hey! I put him on hold. Woohoo! So listen.
Okay, Hulk, do that again.
All right. Here we go. Chris, in the car.
Hey, guys. Am I still there?
Yes, Chris. You're in the car. Welcome to 98.5, the Sports Hub Baseball Reporters. What's going on?
Absolutely love the Baseball Reporters. Doesn't matter who's hosting. It's awesome to talk baseball.
Thank you.
So I was just thinking about the Herald and their, you know, the grade, mid-season grades. I know there are too many players to go through, but give me your A's. You know, I mean, I have a lot of A's, and I think as an overall for the whole, every management, manager, and team, I'm still at an A. I'm just wondering if you guys have any D's like I do, but what do you think?
Well, I mean, I certainly have A-B, if not worse, in David Price. I understand that he has had a couple stretches of good performance, but he is still an enormous question mark for me. And if you really want, he basically said A or B, right?
Yes.
What do you give Jackie Bradley Jr.?
Well, that defense, Marshall. Don't overestimate that defense. Jackie Bradley Jr. has sucked this year.
Eduardo Nunez, what do you give him?
He's not been good.
Okay, Christian Vasquez before he got hurt.
Yeah.
See, so there are certainly problems with this team, and I think that really more than anything, that dovetails right back to J.D. Martinez. Like, the fact that J.D. Martinez is what is the saying? The boat that...
Anchor.
No, that's the thing that all boats rise around it. I don't have the saying in front of me. I can't think of it, but...
Water?
I don't know what it is. We'll figure it out what it is. But basically, J.D. Martinez, I don't think it's a coincidence that his arrival also coincides with Mookie Betts getting his groove back, with Xander Bogaerts finally finding a power stroke and an offensive stroke that we have been waiting to see from him and have not, that Mitch Moreland is having probably his best season at the plate that we have seen in his career. That this is not coincidence. When you've got a bat like his in the middle of the lineup, it makes all of the other bats around it better and bigger and more productive. And all the evidence you need to see is from Toronto on Saturday. Mm-hmm. I mean, what happened? They said J.D. Martinez, who hit a home run against us earlier, here in the 10th inning with two guys on, we're going to walk him to load the bases because we don't want to face him. We'd rather face Xander Bogaerts, who then and goes and hits a game-winning walk-off grand slam. You know what? They didn't have any place else to put Xander Bogaerts if they walk him. Mm-hmm. The game is over. So they have to pitch to Xander Bogaerts, and the only reason they had to pitch to Xander Bogaerts is because they didn't want to pitch to J.D. Martinez. Now, that is a very small snapshot, but I think in the big picture, this is part of the power of J.D. Martinez, both literally and figuratively, that he has made that lineup better all around him. And again, given what this team has missed since David Ortiz left.
I think also one of the spots where you can find Alex Cora's impact on this team is offensively, because the approach has changed. And this is, you know, a tangible change that we've seen in the Red Sox this year, and it's benefited Bogaerts and Betts, I think, most certainly amongst, you know, all the Red Sox players, perhaps more so than any of them. You look at their approach, it's aggressive. They're not waiting around like they did under John Farrell. That has been one of the major positive changes for the Red Sox this year as well.
617-779-0985. That's the phone number. Baseball reporters here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
We have the Sox covered. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5 The Sports Hub. We have the Sox covered. This is the Baseball Reporter with Tony Maserati. Show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. 98.5 The Sports Hub. The show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's the Baseball Reporters here. Right up until 7 o'clock, Marshall Hook filling in for Tony Maserati, and I think we've got the answer to our most pressing question. Doug in Northbridge is going to tell us what I was trying to say. Doug, the phones are not my friend. I put them back on hold. Doug is going to tell me what I was trying to say. Northbridge.
So the saying that you are struggling to come up with, and not to try to show you guys up, but your screener guy said, no, come on the air. So
no,
here I am.
Doug, correct me. Tell me why I'm dumb.
Yes.
Bring
yes.
it on.
No. a rising tide raises all ships.
There we go. That's what I was looking for. I knew it had something to do with rising and ships and all of that.
Yeah. I knew where you were going. So while I'm here, contributing to your A through F list,
yes.
And this player, I think, I don't know if I would give him an F, but he's got to be down close to it, is Dustin Pedroia. He's just been a zero this year.
Thank you, Doug, for both my edification and for that. Because, yeah, let's talk a little bit about Dustin Pedroia. He has been a literal zero, right? He played one game?
Three.
Three. Oh, all right.
Let's not sell him short here, Marshall.
Okay,
I wouldn't want to do that. Come on.
I felt like he came back for one game and then immediately went back onto the DL. But no, so fine. He has still, to me, been a literal zero. I don't know what the expectations were really for him. I'll tell you this. I am fully ready for him never to play baseball again at this point. I think that his injury history, his age, and the fact that he can't shake this thing puts into grave doubt whether or not he's ever going to play again.
It's going to be a major issue for the Red Sox to try and deal with for the next 3.5 years, because Pedroia is owed $15 million next year, $12 million the year after that, $13 million in the second year, and $12 million the year after that. So you've made a significant investment in your starting second baseman, Marshall, who, in theory, can no longer be your starting second baseman. If Pedroia gives you anything moving forward, that's bonus, that's gravy, that's fine, that's great. But they cannot approach second base for the next 3.5 years like Dustin Pedroia is ever going to give them anything ever again.
Yeah,
they're going to need to figure something out, not only in the short term, Marshall, but in the long term at that position.
Yeah, and it's not even so much the contract that I'm focused on, because I think that, you know, in baseball, that's the thing we always talk about. You sign these guys to long-term deals and you say, well, you're not going to get a lot from them in the last, whatever, 2-3, you know, years of the deal. In the case of Dustin Pedroia, it looks as though you may very well get nothing from him in the last 2-3 years of the deal.
4 years.
Yeah, that's even worse. I'll tell you what, take a look at Miguel Cabrera's contract. Miguel Cabrera, who's out for the season, he's got like 6 years left at maybe even twice what Pedroia is making. So it could be a lot worse. I mean, it's just the simple fact of the matter that his injury history, even when he signed that, to me, was questionable. Mm-hmm. You know, his whole dirt devil thing, his whole little leader, his whole, you know, leadership, which I think was questionable. All of that made it questionable to even sign that contract. The one thing that I will defend the contract on, because I defended it at the time and I think it's worthy to remember now that a lot of people have forgotten, is his contract was in many ways, in fact, maybe entirely a defensive move because Robbie Cano was going to hit free agency.
Yes.
And everyone assumed he was going to get this enormous record setting, you know, one of those contracts that adjusts every contract that comes after it. And they wanted to get Dustin Pedroia, the most equitable second baseman to Robinson Cano, signed before he did that. They did that. I commended them at the time for doing that. Ultimately, Cano did not get the deal that people thought he was going to get. And in the end, it makes that the Pedroia contract look a little bit worse. But kind of reeling it back to what we're looking at this year, he hasn't been a lot. He hasn't been anything. But more bothersome, or why that is more troubling, is because nobody else has been anything at that position either. Mm-hmm. Most notably Eduardo Nunez, who was a big spark for this team when they acquired him from San Francisco last year. They re-signed him as a free agent in the offseason. And I think there were some of us, me included, who said, maybe it's not such a bad thing that Dustin Pedroia is there. We'll get Eduardo Nunez every day at bats over at second base, and that'll be great. As long as we're ticking off predictions that were bad, that would fit under a bad prediction because he has been pretty much a black hole there as well.
Yeah, so what do you do for the next 3.5 years? Because it's not really the money that's the problem with this contract, hook. As I said, 15, 13, and 12, like that's not going to cripple the Red Sox, or we should say it should not cripple the Red Sox. However, given that he's under contract for the next 3.5 years, are they going to do what's necessary? Are they going to do what they need to do to approach that position from a long-term standpoint with Dustin Pedroia under contract for 3.5 more years? Because they should, but will Pedroia being on this roster and on this payroll prevent them from going out and fixing second base for the long term? That's my concern and that's my worry.
So your concern basically is that the team is going to say, whoa, 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 we can't sign anyone because Dustin Pedroia is our second baseman.
Precisely.
See, I believe enough in David Dombrowski that he's not going to do that, assuming he gets to keep his job. I believe that they will give it a realistic look. And you know what? I'm going to give Dustin Pedroia credit as well. I mean, he has been at least somewhat honest in talking about his injury, mm-hmm. particularly now that he's gone home to Arizona to get treatment, saying, I'm not going to come back until it gets better. I honestly think that if he gets to the end of this season or maybe even through the offseason and he hasn't gotten any better, I would have to think he's going to be realistic. I mean, this is Major League Baseball. So the one thing is it won't affect his contract, right? The contract's guaranteed. If he's injured to the point that he can't play, he's still going to get his money. It's not like the NFL where you have to fake your way through and hope that you can still get that next contract. I believe, and maybe I'm wrong, but I believe that if Dustin Pedroia truly believes that he can't get better, that he'll be honest about that. And then I think the team will have the freedom to go and pursue whatever it is that they need to pursue to replace him there. And by the way, if you look around Major League Baseball, there's a lot of second baseman talent out there, mm-hmm. and a lot of it is becoming a free agent, or a lot of it is doubling down teams that have too many middle infielders. So I actually think that it is a position where they could fix it at least somewhat quickly, somewhat better than they're doing right now with Eduardo Nunez. But it's true that they will have to get some honesty either with themselves or with Dustin Pedroia, I guess, to have the freedom to make that change.
They're probably going to have to go out, or at least it would be ideal if they went out and acquired somebody like Whit Merrifield, somebody who can play as a starting quality player in the big leagues, who can play multiple positions. Okay, he's your starting second baseman moving forward, but if Pedroia comes back and he's healthy and he's able to contribute, well, then you move Merrifield or whoever player X would be elsewhere. The better version of Eduardo Nunez. They need to find that. They need to find that this offseason.
It's really what they thought Eduardo Nunez was going to be. It's precisely what they thought Eduardo Nunez was going to be, and he fell short of that. 617-779-0985 is the phone number. We're taking a moment here on the Baseball Reporters to kind of review the first half of the Red Sox season, and by the numbers, there's really nothing to complain about. The Red Sox at 68-30, 4.5 games in front of the New York Yankees, which, by the way, puts them 4.5 games in front of almost everyone. What is that? 3.5, 2.5 in front of the Houston Astros. Mm-hmm. Simply put, the best record in all of Major League Baseball. And if you look kind of inside the numbers, they're even better. Their run differential, which is to say the number of runs they've scored versus the number they've given up, oh, they're second only to the Astros. They have scored more runs than any team, 30 more than the Astros. They've given up a few more than the Astros have. But as you boil it down, that even when you look inside you know, numbers, beyond wins, beyond that, you still see that they are at the top or amongst the top, and pretty much no way that you shake it out do you not get the Red Sox, Astros, Yankees as the top three teams. I filled in for Jones a couple weeks ago, and we had a guy on who talked a little bit about, and I forget the stat, I mean, it was really kind of inside baseball, literal
nerdy stat,
and it had something to do with luck and wins, and he basically said that I don't get these stats. I know that I have the reputation of being one of these stat heads. I'm not. But he basically said that the Houston Astros had been particularly unlucky and that they had more room to grow than any other team. And that would actually give them, you know, four to five more wins. What I take away from that is even if you give them five more wins, they're only a half game in front of the Red Sox. So even if you get into the deep numbers, you still see that the Red Sox come out as the top three teams. So that's what we're looking at. Where were we wrong? You know what? We haven't talked about what we were right about. So I think we're going to do that because, you know, we get to compliment ourselves a little bit as well. I don't know how many predictions you made, but I made enough that I at least have a couple that I was right about. We're going to talk about that on the other side of Matt McCarthy's headlines here on the Baseball Reporters. And again, the phone number is 617-779-0985 here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Baseball Reporters, Tony Maz, 98.5 The Sports Hub. This is the Baseball Reporters.
Which makes all the sense in the world if you're the Red Sox.
With Tony Maserati, 98.5 The Sports Hub. From the field.
You're the one who threw the pitch.
To the clubhouse.
They're a reliever short.
To the corner office.
That sends all the wrong messages.
We have the Sox covered.
Because that's the way I look at it.
The Baseball Reporters on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub, you're listening to the Baseball Reporters here. Marshall Hook filling in for Tony Maserati, who decided to play golf today. That's what he got to do. It's a little more than that. It's a company outing. It's a fundraiser. It's a charity thing. It's all good. But Tony Maserati's not here, so you have me, Marshall Hook, filling in for another half hour with Matt McCarthy alongside. By the way, I've had a couple helpful Twitterers who also told me that the phrase I was looking for, a rising tide lifts all boats. J.D. Martinez, that rising tide, he has lifted all of the people around him. As we're taking a little look at what we thought this team was going to be before the season began versus what they are now that the season is unofficially halfway over. I'll tell you what, before we get into the things that we got right, I love our callers and I want to talk to more of them. I'm not going to try to hit the button anymore, so I'll just let Jimmy know that Liam in Everett, he is wanting to make the season more interesting or has a plan to do so. Welcome to the program, Liam.
Hey guys, how's it going?
All right.
So I've been thinking a lot about this. I know it's a hot topic. How can you make baseball more interesting? And I was thinking about it right now as it stands. Teams come to town for three games and the series really means nothing. It's just, if you win three games, you get three games, but there's so many games that it's not interesting. So if you make three game series matter, so you have to win two games out of the three to even get credit for the win, and then somehow affect seeding for playoffs that way, wouldn't it make a game three in the middle of the regular season a lot more interesting?
Basically, I think Tony Maserati had a plan that had something to do with this. Some
a
sort
point
of
system.
Point system for...
Especially.
Yeah, sweeps and for... Yeah, so how would that work? I mean, so if you win two out of three, you get a point. If you win, if you get the three-game sweep, do you get like 3 points?
2 points, presumably, yeah. I haven't done the math on the point system, but it's just a way to make, you know, the middle of July more interesting for a regular fan who might tune in for a series win.
Okay. You know what? I don't fundamentally have a problem with this idea. I just don't, I don't know that it'll work. Like, the point system, let's go ahead and say that this is what you win two games, you get 1 point. You win three, you get three, right? So that what makes the rubber game. But I mean, how many sweeps are there? So ultimately, all you're going to do, I think most series are still going to end with one team winning two out of three, right? And so you'll get a bunch of 1 point wins. I just don't know that it's going to make a dramatic difference.
Do you need to get that radical? Here's what you do, Marshall. You eliminate one of the divisions, East and West, and that kind of brings more of a pennant race type atmosphere back. Like, the Cleveland Indians are going to cruise to a playoff spot through essentially no merit because they play in a garbage division because there are too many divisions in baseball. What you need to do is you need to adopt a format that creates the divisions and makes them even more important than they are now. The wild card has done that. Even more place even more importance on the divisions by eliminating one of the divisions in each league. You go from 6 to 4, and then all of a sudden you can create a little bit more of that pennant race atmosphere.
But do you still have the same number of playoff teams?
I say you make fewer playoff teams, to be totally honest.
And see, now you see, because I have plans too. Part of my plan is contraction, getting rid of teams altogether. Your plan and my plan have about the same percentage chance of ever coming to pass in baseball, because what baseball wants is more of everything. They want more teams, more divisions, more specifically, they want more playoff teams. They would love that to extend the postseason. So this really is the big problem with baseball, is they're going exactly in the opposite direction of what a lot of people. Now, your plan is different than my plan, but in both cases, they want to go in the opposite direction of where we want to go. Like, the way I think to make it better is to make it fewer. Fewer teams, fewer games, fewer postseason berths. All of that, I think, makes it better. But that, as a business plan, is bad for baseball, right? Because every one of those fewer things is less money, right? You have fewer teams, less money. Players, you know, if you got rid of two teams, well, that's 50 jobs that are gone. 50 Major League Baseball jobs. So the union's never going to get on board with that. Baseball's never going to get on board. They want to expand. They want more games. So this is the problem, that the business of baseball is in a direct, you know, conflict with the game of baseball, if that makes sense.
But if you add two teams, which they likely will do for business purposes, and you combine them all into four divisions, eight teams, four divisions, that builds more competition within the division, which creates more intrigue in the regular season, which is the key for baseball. The regular season needs to be more important than it is now because it's too damn long. It didn't matter when the regular season was 154 games or 162 games, when it meant everything. You win the American League in the regular season, you go to the World Series. Or you win one of your two divisions, you go to the LCS. It didn't matter that the regular season was so long then. Now that you've got three divisions and wild card teams, then all of a sudden the regular season becomes worthless.
617-779-0985 is the phone number. Angelo in Methuen wants to talk about Xander Bogaerts.
Yeah. You know what gets my rear end, right? Every time I watch the game all the time, right? Okay. To watch only two players I like, Bradley and Bogey. The rest can go to hell, especially Betts, right? Every time there's a commercial, who is fake you think you see on the TV? Him. And when people start and I compare him with Ted Williams, they don't know their baseball.
So you think Jackie Bradley is a more important player to this team than Mookie Betts?
I never said that.
Okay, you said Betts can go to hell and Bradley's one of the only players you...
I didn't say that.
Okay.
Betts is a good outfielder.
Okay.
A better hitter. But Bradley's a better defensive player than Betts.
All right, well, that I don't fundamentally
disagree. And you know what you're going to say... There's no competition in right field for Gold Glover. Jackie Bradley's always getting screwed every year to get the Gold Glove. What I'm seeing is, if I was pitching, and I'll give you a reason why, I would drill Betts in the ribs. He's always showing up a pitcher when he hits a home run. And none of them jerks that called the game say anything. But if it's the opposition, they bitch. Oh, he's showing up the pitcher. They're always protecting their players. And both of those guys, they call a game. They're not professional front men. You know what I mean by a front man?
Okay, Angelo. I'm going to thank you for the call. I think I quoted him directly, didn't I? He said he cares only about two players, Xander and Bradley. And he said, I didn't say that. And then I said, you said Betts could go to hell. I didn't say that.
I think he did.
I'm pretty sure you said exactly both those things.
That call was amazing. You know why, Marshall? Because everything that came out of his mouth was fundamentally wrong.
Well, listen, I like Xander Bogaerts. I got no problem with that part of it. After that, we seemed to go wildly off the rails. I didn't understand all of it. But ultimately, the guy likes Xander Bogaerts, so he and I can agree on that. Jackie Bradley Jr., certainly a gifted defensive player, so we can agree on that. The rest of it, I don't know that I've got a lot of common ground with Angelo and Methuen, but I'm happy
like
he
Angelo.
Called.
I
listen, I will
He's
talk.
He's my friend.
I guarantee you this. I would sit down in a room and talk baseball with Angelo from Methuen.
I believe he's a 90-year-old man, too.
I don't know that it works very well in this environment. Plus, he seems very upset when you directly quote him 30 seconds after he says something.
No, he just hates you.
All right, well, that may be.
The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz, 98.5.